Welcome back to the Hammer and Sparks Pod, everyone. Okay, this one is for the behind-the-scenes nerds. We're going to speak to Tom Walker, Senior Manager of Business Development at Forge FC. But actually, no, wait, it's even more than that. It's for the supporters in the bellows where Tom used to sit, or sorry, stand. It's for fans whose first love in football is a deep allegiance to their own history, but haven't stopped them from falling in love again with their new local club, Forge FC. It's for the fans that turn up every game to check out this new squad and to have a blast at the stadium. It's for folks who've never heard of Forge FC and those that just can't get enough. So join us as we talk about how one becomes a Forge fan, what it takes to do Tom's job, and what that job even is, to be honest. Challenges and obstacles that he's faced, greatest successes that he's come up with, it's all here. I love this one. I hope you do too. Welcome to the Hammer of Sparks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Hammer of Sparks pod. And this time we're getting a little bit different as we go behind the scenes. So let's start off by having our guest today introduce himself.
Hey, this is Tom Walker. I'm the Senior Manager of Business Development here at Forge. Kev, this is a cool moment for us because I know we've known each other basically since the beginning. Your striking appearance was something that drawn me over to you in the very beginning. So it's very cool that we can now chat in a professional space.
Yeah, and you know what? It's kind of funny talking about striking appearances because I remember Janet and I, when we very first met you, we couldn't remember your name. And Janet would always say to me, you know Malfoy? the Harry Potter reference. So I still have you in my phone contacts as Malfoy Forge.
So never change it.
Never will. So let's just dive right into the conversation today. We know now your job here at Forge, but let's go a little bit further back. What made you fall in love with the game of footy in the first place?
There's a picture of me. I think I am genuinely probably around 6 to 8 hours old. And my dad has drawn the Nottingham Forest logo on, like, you know, like the baby hats that you get.
Yeah.
So I basically had no choice. And growing up in England, you know, if you meet somebody, you hang out with them at a bar, someone introduces them to you, whatever, for the first time, you don't say, hey, what do you do in your spare time? Or what are your interests? What are your hobbies? The question is, who do you support?
Right.
And if someone's like, I don't support anybody. I'm into ultimate frisbee. Automatically like, what? Like, what are you talking about? How can you not have a team? So it's just something that was forced upon me. And yeah, from the very early moments, really early moments, hours. I've been in love with the game, and I think to my very last day, it's going to be my number one passion.
I love hearing that. I mean, I still remember like my early memories of having Southampton Saints pennants hanging up in my bedroom. Before I knew anything about the game, I already knew who I was a supporter of, right?
Of course.
All right. So let's dive into now the connection. We know you're like a huge Nottingham Forest fan, English footy fan, of course. Now you're living in Canada. Tell me, when you came over to Canada, you became a fan of Forge. But at first you started off as a fan before becoming someone who worked with the side. So what was it like in those early days of fandom? Because I remember those days hanging out with you, cheering the team on.
I remember those days. I definitely remember the $5 pre-match beers for sure. And I think I was on my honeymoon with my wife in Croatia, and we had an unplugged kind of agreement, no phones, only for photos and alarms, basically. Yeah. One night we were going out and she was taking forever in the bathroom, and I'd looked at the balcony, I'd looked at the scenery. I was like, man, there's got to be some football news I'm missing out on. So I just grabbed my phone quick, and that's when I saw the $50 deposit to basically become a co-founder, get a season seat. So whilst my wife was in the shower, I grabbed my credit card, put down my $50 in Dubrovnik, Croatia, came back, followed the battalion and everything on Twitter. And then I saw Alan at the time do a bit of a call to action for people to come out and paint the first ever TIFO that we did.
Right.
And I was like, that sounds great. I went down, met a lot of people that day, kneeling down on concrete. My knees were absolutely broken.
Right.
And then, yeah, I didn't really know what to expect with the CPL. I, you know, hand on heart, as someone who was new to the Canadian soccer scene, even someone like Kyle Becker, like I know he played for the national team. And I personally had never heard of this guy.
Right.
And a lot of the players obviously came from League One. I was not that deep into it. I didn't know what to expect. But I remember grabbing season tickets with a couple of guys and just diving right into it. Because the seasons before, my previous job, they actually got me TFC season tickets as like a Christmas bonus, which I was super grateful for. It's the best thing I had at that time. But I'm not even just saying this. I never felt part of the club. I never felt a connection. I just felt like a customer. And that was in 2018. They'd just come off the back of winning the treble. So that's, in theory, like the best time to be involved.
Right.
But I had Forge and, you know, the attendances weren't anything unbelievable. And the club was trying to figure itself out and trying to act like a proper club.
Right.
And even though it had a lot of bumps in the road, I don't know, something just grabbed me and that was it. And yes, I'm an employee and I have my Forge FC employee hat on, but I go to every York game. I watch every single away game. I'm a fan first and employee second, always.
I love that, because we're going to get into that a little bit later about how you delineate and draw that difference between Tom the fan and Tom the employee, of course. But again, you're just reminding me of those early days. Like, it was so exciting to be a part of something. And it's really valuable what you said about being TFC and being a customer. I had the same kind of experience. I love TFC. I love watching them and all that kind of stuff. They were our local team. But it was something about being there from the start, painting a banner, you know, going out to those first away days, not knowing what to expect. Like, I think a lot of us talked about it. And we're like, we'd be happy if it was like, you know, high school level soccer. Would just be fine. That's what we're expecting. But, you know, it would be something that was ours. And then when the first game was played, we're like, whoa, this is more than we expected. And then the vibe also just caught on. So I can hear exactly where you're coming from. You're just giving me chills. It's reminding me of how it started. For me. All right. Let's go now to like the professional side a little bit. I don't know if you can do this, but maybe break down a little bit. What is your role for us? Give us your title again and break down what is your role with Forge.
My role is senior manager of business development. That's my title. So basically, long story short, my job is to bring people into the stadium, have them pay for that privilege. And then once they're in here, make sure that they want to keep spending money and also connect me to their network. So essentially, my job is everything from a $20 ticket in the cheapest section to one game, to working with youth clubs and businesses regarding, you know, kind of that level under corporate. So I don't look after Tim Hortons and CarStar and all those guys, but someone like Wingporium, for example, who want to do some work with the club, have a mutual beneficial partnership. Like, that's really my like speciality is working with organizations and getting them to realize that we can kind of offer super convenient, fun solutions to their business needs through the power of soccer. So honestly, in a nutshell, that's what I'm tasked with doing. I've been doing it now since probably 3/4 of the way through the 2019 season. I've been kind of climbing the ranks and I think me personally and the club, we've been getting better every single year. And I'm excited to see where we go this year and beyond, because I'm in it for the long haul.
I mean, I absolutely love that, because too, I remember like even little things like now going to Wingporium, the home of the Barton Sheep Battalion, and seeing like Forge table toppers and Forge flags and stuff in there. And it feels like, you know, this this community is starting to rally around this team, and that's something that, you know, obviously we didn't see at the very beginning, but it's slowly kind of growing out, and that's kind of what you want, right? Like, obviously we want it to explode right away. But it is really nice being able to see from year one to now, like the differences in how the community is coming along, and that's basically what you're working at, right?
Yep, that's exactly it.
That's amazing. All right. So now, I don't know, this is kind of a question that I was kind of interested to hear. Can you take us through like a typical day in the life of you, which is there even a such thing as a typical day in the life of you with what it is that you do, but kind of
Yeah, I mean, obviously games dictate everything. The off season, I think, I don't know if fans have this idea that, you know, the players are off. So that means that I'm at home drinking tea with my feet up for 6 months or whatever. But the off season is basically where all the groundwork is done. There are no games that are coming up that we have to execute. We have all the time in the world to have meetings, get in front of people, talk about the club. And, you know, it comes with challenges. There's snow on the ground and it's minus 10, and you're trying to talk to a business about committing to the club and coming out in July. It can be a little bit difficult, but yeah, a typical day right now in season with, you know, as we record, three games coming up within the space of what, like 10 days or something crazy like that, 2 weeks. So right now it's coming in and dealing with the requests in my inbox, which could be, I need extra tickets. I have an issue. I have a question. I need this. I need that. I always try to deal with those people. And then the wheel never stops turning, ever, ever. So until there are 24,000 season seat holders, game in, game out, and, you know, even then we'd probably open up general admission spots and be selling those. Like, it never stops. So I'd say a third of my day is prospecting. I am making connections. I'm asking people to connect me to individuals. I am on LinkedIn stalking people. I'm giving people a call. I'm basically just trying to make connections and therefore set up meetings at the stadium and trying to kind of ignite passions that will turn into business. So
And
yeah, a typical day is just kind of keeping that wheel turning and trying to inspire new people to join us, and again, look after those who are already with us.
that fascinates me too, because I think from my perspective, just looking at it, you know, you see soccer fans and then you think, okay, obvious things are let's find the youth clubs and we'll get out and reach out to them and stuff like that. But it's got to be so much bigger than just finding who the fans are already, but actually identifying who could become the fans down the road, right? So how much of that is, you know, planting seeds for future fans as opposed to
Yeah,
just like getting them in the door?
for sure. Like the youth soccer clubs, we've been, you know, James is someone who looks after the youth soccer space a little bit more than I do. I do more kind of business stuff. But, you know, I'll use Mount Hamilton Soccer, for example. Like, we've been working with them since day one. So, like, yes, there are new kids in the program every year, and it's really important to keep them associated with Forge, seeing the logo, learning who players are, learning who the mascot is. But, you know, Hamilton's like 500,000 people population. So my job is to go out to maybe a law firm who might not be soccer people, but they're looking for a client hosting opportunity. And instead of going to the Jays or even like, you know, a bowling alley or a day of golf, whatever it could be, I want them to consider Forge. And then I'm a firm believer, and you can tell me, Kev, if you kind of agree with this or not. I'm super proud of the product that we have, the style of play, the game day production, like the branding. I'm really proud of it. And once we get people through the door for the first time, there's not that many people that are like, wow, this is dreadful. Like, I never want to come back. Most people are like, this was fun. I will follow this club on Instagram. I will buy a hat. I will come back with my friends in 2 games' time, whatever. Like, I don't know if you agree with that.
You know what? I'll dive into that. Having been lucky enough to be able to go to every stadium in the league, the level of the soccer all around the league is something that I want to come back and see, right? But I know I'm in an echo chamber that I'm kind of a diehard. But when you come to Forge, and I think it's something a lot of the teams have already and some are working towards, there is, when you walk into that stadium, you feel like you're at a professional event. You're at a top level event. Everything just feels like a day at the park, right? So it really, I'm kind of not surprised, but happy to see, have seen it grown, because even from day one, it felt like something more than I expected. But now I have expectations. So watching us as Forge kind of meet those expectations, it's really exciting. But also, I mean, always we have places to grow, and I'm sure that's what you're focused on, is where can we make it even better? But I don't think I've ever brought a friend to the game who said, "Oh yeah, I won't be back." They're always like, "Wow, this was amazing." And sometimes it's because they're in the supporter section singing and they've never had that experience, but also because they're sitting with vantage points at the game, watching the game, like, and just being like, "This is a really high quality product." And then they go to get a drink, and there's lots of places for them to grab a drink, and they can go to the washroom, and then they're like, "Oh, you know what? I'm gonna pick up a hat or something," and there's the gift shop. So there's everything seems to be covered that you'd expect at any big game. So I know now I'm kind of going off, but it gets
No,
me pretty excited
I love
thinking.
it. I love hearing your enthusiasm, which is something you never lack.
Okay, so now that's a true fact. I could take that. But now I want to go into something. Let's flip it a little bit. Like, obviously, this has been amazing, and you guys are doing an amazing job there. But what there has to have been some hurdles and some barriers that you guys have come up against. What's something that you have found is like kind of being the most difficult thing to kind of overcome, or not even overcome, but to work through?
I think there's a couple of areas that are kind of daily challenges. So trying to create urgency in a 24,000 seat facility, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. Why should I buy my tickets now? I can buy them on the day. Trying to create that, if we had a if we I mean our stadium is one of the best facilities in the league. You must have spoke to a player who said, training here, eating lunch here, having a weight room, having a video room, a PlayStation, like all this stuff under one roof. I don't think fans quite realize how much of an advantage that is compared to other teams who train in one area, play in another. Then they go somewhere else for lunch. They don't have a weight room, so they go to a shared gym. They get changed in, a facility not as good as ours. So I'm not here kind of saying, Tim Hortons Field is an issue. It's an asset, but as we try and drive urgency, I'd say that's a big problem. I would say another challenge for sure. There are a lot of people in Hamilton that would rather watch their European team on TV and come to Forge in person. For me, that blows my mind. That absolutely blows my mind, especially when the games in Europe, typically the latest they'll kick off is 3, and sometimes we play at 7.
Right.
It shouldn't be an issue, but I think there's a lot of fans who just need educating. I'm not going to say that they don't believe in the product. I'm not going to say that they don't see it as a good level. I think these people just need more education on why it's good. This players that Benny Badi Banga played in Europa League. Like, we are not watching. We are not watching scrubs. We are not watching a men's league. Like, this is a serious level, and we've got a left back on loan from Monterrey. Like, this is legit. So I think getting those people to leave their TV and come and watch football with their eyes is great. That's a big challenge. And then finally, I think just brand awareness. There are people in Hamilton who don't know we exist still, which is insane. And it's, again, an ongoing challenge because, everyone should know Forge Orange. Everyone should know that we play at Tim Hortons Field and we're a soccer team. Like, those three things should be like the absolute bare minimum for every household in Hamilton. No, people don't have to know, players who don't often play or U Sports picks or anything like that. Like, they just need to know who we are, what we do, and what color we wear. So I think those three things, Kev, to be honest.
No, it's amazing that I want to speak to all of those, because with the urgency thing, I know you and I have both traveled to, say, Halifax. You have like this, you know, this little tiny stadium that's so ideally placed, and it's perfect for them because they can fill it up. So people are like, oh, I got to get my ticket now. It speaks to what you were saying. Whereas with Forge, Ottawa has the same issue as well. And of course, Port Valor, with those giant stadiums, it's twofold, right? Because I can get the ticket the day of, and then when I get there, is it going to be like as wild? Because it doesn't feel like it's crowded, and you kind of, that kind of picks up the vibe a little bit. So how do you, and I think you spoke about it a little bit, that is a worry that we all have. Everybody talks about, oh, imagine if we had Halifax Stadium here, it would be so amazing. I don't agree necessarily, because I think we want to have a space to grow into. I think it's short-sighted thinking like, oh, we could fill a 6,000 seat stadium, but don't we want to fill a 20,000 seat stadium eventually? So I don't mind that part, but what is it that you can do to keep that kind of vibe up high?
If we had Halifax's stadium for the CPL final, we could have sold it twice over.
Right.
So that argument doesn't really stand up. Trying to, as we improve, as we get busier, and Kev, I know you're a big CPL Forge guy. I'm a massive nerd myself. Sometimes I go back and I watch highlights of us in 2019 or 2021 coming out of the pandemic and everything. And I look at the crowd and I'm like, good grief. Like, that is pretty bleak. And then I watch highlights from last year and I look at the crowd and I'm like, we are getting there. Like, and forget home opener, forget playoffs, anything. Those are always going to be a spike. They're a spike for every sports team in the world.
Right.
I'm talking regular game, end of June, on a Saturday, like insert random opponent, doesn't matter. We are getting there. So for the home opener and all that kind of stuff and just regular games, you used to be able to just roll up to the stadium or call someone like me the day before and be like, I need 6 tickets. They need to be next to me. And I go, yeah, no problem. Done. But now, as we get closer to kickoff, that it is becoming a bit more of an inventory issue.
Right.
So I think trying to educate people that things are changing through, you know, reports like we released at the end of last year about the amazing growth that we had from 22 to 23, and just making people aware that things are getting a little tighter and you got to be a bit quicker. That helps. And obviously when we, you know, announce Forge configuration sellout or whatever, we know what we mean. It means the lower east is sold and now we've got to go to the west. Right. Just reaching that goal a bit more often, I think people would start to realize that they can't just call me on a Friday and get what they need.
Yeah, you're speaking right to my heart here. I remember how many times I've reached out to you and you're like, oh, Kev, I can't get those seats right next to you. I can find you something here or there's a couple sections over. I'm like, that didn't used to be the way it was.
Exactly.
Amazing. And speaking to the other point you made about the facility itself, I was talking way back, my first ever interview was with Novak, you know, former Forge player. And he said the same thing, like, I don't think people recognize like what a big draw it is the first time you come into Tim Hortons Field and you're like, you know, locker rooms, change rooms, weight rooms, all this kind of stuff, you know, your recovery facilities for after the game and stuff like that. That's not what's around the league when you're, you know, shopping to look for a new team and stuff like that. And you're like, oh, this is a massive draw to have something so big and professional there. So that's a really valid point that you made that I just wanted to talk about. And then the brand awareness thing. That's interesting to me. And it's one of the things that I have some concerns about. So I'm wondering if you're going to lay my fears here. One of the things that I worry about, like Forge, I tell everybody I talk to, we're living in the good old days, like a dynasty already. You know what I mean? Like, it's just been incredible. Like you have to pinch yourself every season, right? Like it's just been so great. And I know other fans get annoyed hearing that from us. Kind of part of the fun. But also we have to remember like this doesn't last forever. So what is it that you do to make Forge an indelible part of the community when, you know, somewhere down the road, hopefully not for a long, long, long time, Forge might not be the dominant force and we'll still want people believing this is their team.
Yeah, great point. We have touched on being champions. We have celebrated that fact. We have included it on some visuals and some marketing materials and stuff, but it is never come down and watch us because we're really good.
Right.
It's like, come down and watch us because we're a community club. We're building towards the World Cup. It's for Canadians, by Canadians, with a sprinkle of Benny Baddy Banger and Akinyoti Johnson, some international flavor. Yeah. And it's never, my personal sales pitches has never been, come down and watch us, we always win. Because it doesn't last forever. Not to turn it into a kind of very selfish Forest angle, and I can hear people turning off the pod already. But like, Forest won the European Cup in 79 and 80. And if you told them that that would be the last time that they won anything like that, and now we're in 2024, and it could not be further away, like, they would have laughed in your face. And Bobby's not going to be here forever. Becker has to retire one day. Borges might leave. Malik might leave. Like, we're only a couple of steps away from not being who we are. So I think in the marketing and in kind of pitches to fans, we celebrate being great right now because we deserve to do that. But also, it's never been come down and watch us, we're good. It's come down and watch us because of what we represent.
I love that. And I mean, and I feel it too. Like, again, a little bit of personal bias and stuff like that. But if really, since when you start as, you know, a member of the battalion, you come out to the events, you come to the stadium early, you know, partake of that social aspect and stuff like that. Even when, for me, switching spots every once in a while just to watch a game, because I'll admit, I love being in the supporter section. It's the vibe, but you don't always see everything you want to see. So sometimes just sitting out there, and for me, getting a chance to go in the press box once or twice and watching the game build and stuff like that, it's just, it's an incredible environment. So, you know, I want more people to know about it. And that's why I think it's important to have these kind of conversations.
It is. We are like, I think, to give you a kind of a little bit of a peep behind the curtain, I think, in 2019, 2020, 21, had a lot of shared resources. So we'd have like a marketing individual who was Forge and Ticats. Mm-hmm. We'd have social media people who are Forge and Ticats. We'd have a lot of corporate people, Forge and Ticats. And as things have gone on, we have started to have, no, you do Ticats, you do Forge. So we have like our own dedicated team. We have our own dedicated individuals who do not work on anything else other than Forge. And that's been in the last couple of years. So I'm hoping that the fruits of that labor will mean that, you know, moving forward, brand awareness and everything like that is everyone's sole focus.
I absolutely love that because it speaks to, too, like we're kind of coming out from under the shadow of Big Brother Ticats, which is, I mean, we love that partnership because obviously it's what gave us a foothold and stuff like that. But also to see that now we are like standing on our own 2 feet, it's kind of it's a huge deal, right?
Yeah, massively. Yeah.
All right. Let's jump into that. We've gotten kind of a little bit serious and a little bit, I don't want to say dour, but there's so much joy in this club too that I want to get back to that a little bit. So tell me, thinking about everything you've done since you've been with Forge, what is like the biggest, because I ask the players all the time their biggest moment, because we have so many to pick from. What is your biggest moment as a member of Forge?
As a fan or as an employee? Because they're two very different things.
Let's get them both in there.
Okay, cool. All right. So I would say as a fan, I think it had to be the championship in Ottawa.
Okay.
On a match day, I think a lot of people also might think like, you know, the whistle kicks off. Yeah. I take my seat in the club level and I like pop my feet up I have a couple of beers and I have a nice burger and I, you know, I just sit down and just enjoy the game and that's right. It. But the reality is a home game, I barely get to see the action, to be honest with you. So as a fan, the away game in Ottawa, I was in the support section where my soul belongs.
Yeah.
I was with a lot of people like yourself, you know, Charles Ballerano, a super close friend of mine. I was with that side of my life, and I was with all my colleagues, because we could enjoy watching the game together as fans. I could have a couple of beers. It was an unbelievable moment. I've been watching football live as much as I can in numerous countries since I can remember, and that's one of my favorite moments I've ever had. I can't even describe the feeling of kind of celebrating with colleagues and friends and not having the responsibility. Now, turn it on the other side, not to be, you know, kind of ridiculous, but I think last year's final is something hard to beat. Mm-hmm. We put on a great crowd. We worked night and day for weeks on it. We had 2 weeks, right? Because we beat Cavalry in that kind of who gets to host the final game.
Yeah.
We had 2 weeks. And honestly, we all worked 14 days straight. We worked 9 till 9. We absolutely left everything out. And to see that crowd, and don't get me wrong, by the way, I'm watching the game with all these new tools, and my work brain is thinking, this is a great opportunity to have so many people fall in love with the club. Like, if we can win at home, especially, and if we can do this, that, and the other, this is going to be unbelievable.
Right.
First of all, I'm terrified because a lot of things that get thrown at me about soccer is, oh, it's low scoring, right?
Right.
It's 0-0 at full time. And I'm thinking, I can just hear everyone being like, I'm never coming back. This is boring. Why are we doing this? Right. So that was the kind of first pain that went through me. Then when we went behind, I was thinking, oh my God, all these people hoping to see us lift a trophy. Now we're going to lose. And everyone I'm going to be calling on Monday is going to be like, yeah, I'm good. Not interested. Thanks. To turn it around in extra time, and a lot's been made of how rare that is, was unbelievable. And to have the, you know, to call everyone afterwards and be like, did you enjoy the game? They're like, yes. How much are season tickets? I'd love to bring my soccer team out. I'd love to bring my business out. It was such an amazing opportunity. And of course, both of those things have something in common, and that's winning the title.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's incredible. And you know what? It's funny because obviously that's a huge alert. And the worries that we have of trying to sell soccer in the North American market is, like you said, nil-nilers aren't going to get it done. But the tension, the joy, the drama of that overtime totally killed it. It's funny, stepping back a little bit, you're talking about how great a moment it was for fan you and work you being at that championship in Ottawa. It reminds me of my favorite Tom Walker moment was our Halifax trip. Which I can't get into for, you know, decency reasons on the podcast, but walking into the supporters, past the supporter section, the kitchen there, and I just remember them giving it to us as we're all decked out in our Forge stuff, and Tom Walker with his cheap pint looking back and firing back, and it was amazing to have that moment, to have that fan footy back and forth, and then folks coming down and buying us beer because we were, like, getting into it with them in a friendly, fun, amazing way. That's my Tom Walker moment.
Oh, right? Bless you. We were me and you were taking on Block 108. Just me and you. Bring it on.
Fantastic. What a joy. And credit to, like, and that's been my experience around the league, is like, people want to get in there, give it to you, especially as the champs. Like, you know, they want to knock you off your high horse. But at the same time, they understand we're in this together, especially supporters, fans who are coming back and stuff. They get that we're all in this together, right?
100%.
Well, you must see it too in watching the newer teams try and get up off the ground, whether it's Vancouver out west or, you know, now redoing it here with our local team, York, and you guys working initiatives to try and get, you know, them up to where we're at. Like, what does that all mean for you to see the league's success?
The league is everything. Yes, I'm a Forge fan, but can you imagine if we had 24,000 people in our stadium, but then everybody else had 500? Like, it would be like, we're only as strong as each other, honestly. It's completely true. And yeah, we have league calls quite often that we share ideas with. I know I can pick up the phone and call numerous people around the league, even people at Cavalry will answer the phone to me, which is amazing. And we can chat away and talk, you know, strategies and, you know, share ideas and stuff like that. Because I think everyone has their club, everyone wears their logo, everybody bleeds their colors. But at the end of the day, we're all kind of here for the same thing. And that's, you know, you grow soccer in Hamilton or Winnipeg, but then it's bigger than that. It's actually Manitoba and Ontario. And it's actually bigger than that because it's the entire country. Right. So we're all in it together. And yeah, we work together really well, you know, rivalries aside.
I love that. Okay. We have like basically 2 minutes left in this interview, but I want to finish up with some numbers for the data nerds and geeks. What are some of the numbers that you're most proud of that you could share with us that show where Forge is headed or where we've become?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I wanted to kind of remind everybody of the CPL Business Awards. We missed out on a couple that were pretty knocked about, and we will do our best to get them this year. But yeah, you know, partnership to activation of the year, top group sales, new season seat member growth, top selling jersey. Like, these are big accolades that we managed to get over the line. A couple of them we were beaten on opinion, commissioner opinion. And I have a lot of respect for Mark and Glenn and the team. But yeah, we felt like we were in the running for a couple more. So yeah, we'll be coming after those this year. And then I kind of want to end it on something that fills me with pride, and that's the number 44.
What's that?
That is the overall ticket growth from 22 to 23. 44%, which is astronomical. So, for example, other organizations, and, you know, we've done market research. I'm not going to name other sporting teams and stuff like that, right, but other sporting teams celebrate anything from 8 to 15%. That's considered a win for the finance team.
Wow. What
and this isn't about money. This is about bums in seats,
right,
and eyes on the game. And yeah, 44% is something that we're really proud of, because there's a lot of work that goes in from Nicole all the way down to everybody else in the organization. And 44% is going to be hard to do again.
Welcome back to the Hammer and Sparks Pod, everyone. Okay, this one is for the behind-the-scenes nerds. We're going to speak to Tom Walker, Senior Manager of Business Development at Forge FC. But actually, no, wait, it's even more than that. It's for the supporters in the bellows where Tom used to sit, or sorry, stand. It's for fans whose first love in football is a deep allegiance to their own history, but haven't stopped them from falling in love again with their new local club, Forge FC. It's for the fans that turn up every game to check out this new squad and to have a blast at the stadium. It's for folks who've never heard of Forge FC and those that just can't get enough. So join us as we talk about how one becomes a Forge fan, what it takes to do Tom's job, and what that job even is, to be honest. Challenges and obstacles that he's faced, greatest successes that he's come up with, it's all here. I love this one. I hope you do too. Welcome to the Hammer of Sparks.